FM, The Way.
Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, celebrating over 55 years as an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, offering over 15 different types of insurance to cover every aspect of life. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can reach Bob Johnson Insurance at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Will Ukraine play a part in the plans of Ezekiel? Are the actions and edicts of President Trump actually paving the way for the Antichrist? We'll also look at what is being done about a corrupt criminal court as we look at the Signs of the Times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, February 7th. 2025. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with anyone that has an electronic device. You can read the articles we talk about or ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question, as a couple of people did this week. When you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net, that's our website, or if you've got your mobile device, you can just go to your app store and look for the Way Media app right there. And now, here with some financial advice, that you should always borrow money from a pessimist because they never expect it back, is Pastor Mark, who, when he was young, was afraid of the dark. Now, when he sees his electric bill, he's afraid of the lights.
You know, it's funny you just said that, actually.
You just saw your electric bill, didn't you?
No, I'm sitting here, look, I have to watch, Greg, I have to look at the news. While we do the show, I keep news things up because
yes,
it changes so fast, especially now.
Yes.
But just then, I'm just looking at, in New York, it looks like they're facing, there's a $2,000 energy bill increase. As they're pushing a green energy push forward, it would cause a $2,000. I don't know what that means. I didn't read it, whether that's per person per year, probably, but it's funny you said that because even just the whole idea there of, you know, you're right. Just seeing the light bill in some states, in some cities, you're going to pay more. You're going to pay for it.
And it's scary.
It is scary.
Yes, it
so
is.
Anyway.
All right. Well, before we get into articles, a couple things to cover. First of all, we are on the eve of our first annual, at least our inaugural, if not a one-time deal, our Southeast Prophecy Conference held at the Knoxville Convention Center tomorrow from 9 until, what
4
is it?
O'clock. 4
9
o'clock.
Until 4 9 o'clock. Until 4.
Yep.
And I believe you can still register to attend.
Yes.
Just visit our website, calvaryknoxville.org. Click the events section, and the first thing you will see is a picture of Pastor Mark, Pastor Jack Hibbs, and the Prophecy Pros. You just click on that image, and that will take you to the registration page.
Yes, and just so you know, to register quickly, we officially have sold out, but we did.
Okay.
However, we still have more tickets because we asked the convention center if we could add some more seats. They let us add some more seats. And so I know we added another 100 and something seats, and I know a portion of them were already gone last time I checked. So there are still seats available, but if you want to get in, now's the time to do it because I think not only did it fill out from the initial, I think it's going to sell out from our additional seats as well. So, which is exciting, but make sure you get in there and get to be a part of it.
Okay, fantastic. And before we get to our articles, and again, thinking about, we were talking about this before the show, and President Trump's first 100 days in office, he hasn't even been in for 30 days,
no.
Okay, let alone 100. What? And I mentioned that this feels like the legislative version of shock and awe when the U.S. military went into Iraq.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is just happening so fast and furious, and you wanted to make some comments about that.
Well, you can't even keep up. It's like maybe 18 to 19 days, 18 to every
year. Yeah, however it is.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like 18 days he's been in office. And it's unbelievable what's happening. And again, a lot of these things are just wonderful. We rejoice at a lot of the things that are happening. As I said, I believe we've been given a reprieve. Look, Satan is going to keep working full steam.
Yeah, he's not going to stop.
And God's timetable is not slowed down. When the trumpet sounds, we're out of here. And when the Antichrist is going to show up, he's going to show up. God's time clock is still on track. So when I say we've been given a reprieve, I'm not saying that it's not going to happen and somehow we've stopped it. No, I'm saying God has given us a break. As believers and as a nation, to slow down the wall of darkness and wickedness that was moving so quickly across our nation, it's very exciting to see what's happening, slowing some of that down. And, you know, I've often wondered, Greg, what, you know, and we talked about it before the broadcast, you know, you wonder what kind of persecution will we have to go through? Many believers around the world are suffering greatly right now, even unto death. And we're pretty protected here in America still yet. But I always thought, you know, we don't know. Before the rapture, we could just be taken out, and or we could suffer as well. Prior to that, I'm starting to think now, you know, as close as the rapture seems to be with the world environment as it is, I'm starting to wonder whether or not we're going to have a reprieve all the way into the rapture and just get taken out and not even have to go through major persecution. I'm not saying we won't. Don't misunderstand me, and we should all be ready. Be ready mentally, be prepared. Believers have suffered throughout history. So I'm not saying we won't, but I'm saying, wow. Does it look like if there was ever a chance of just going through and actually seeing some great things happen and then head right into the kingdom there, it could be really awesome. And so, either way, we need to take advantage of this time. Don't waste our time. Be teaching the Word of God. Be preaching the Word of God. Be taking every opportunity to promote the gospel and move forward. Because, you know, who knows whether or not this will last? You know, is it going to last? We don't know. But and be praying for the protection of the president. There's so many people that want to kill him now more than they ever did. And so the fact that he's protected and stays alive these next 4 years. And so again, and don't get me wrong. I'm not looking to President Trump as the savior. I'm not saying, wow. I'm saying, hey, God, Jesus Christ is our only savior. But the Lord has allowed President Trump to be in there, I think, to slow down darkness and really in a strange way, prepare the world for the Antichrist. These are good things that are happening. He's not connected to the false prophet. He's not connected to the Antichrist. I'm not suggesting that. I'm thrilled that he's in there. I'm simply saying, you know, when you look at what's got to be happening in the world, and with Israel and the environment that has to be there, that we'll talk about in a moment for the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle, mm-hmm. and then when you look at the revived Roman Empire that needs to take place in the last days. Wow, if there's anybody that could set the stage and then we get taken out and the Antichrist step on the scene, it's President Trump. So it's exciting and it's good what's happening, but it's also, I think, maybe a preparation could be heading into what we're going to see in the last days, and which is exciting as well. I hate what's going to happen, but it's exciting because we know where it's going.
You know, what's interesting, Pastor Mark, when we take a look at God's Word, there's biblical precedence that has been set for God using world leaders for certain things, whether it's to bless people, whether it's to punish people, or whether it's just to bring himself glory.
Absolutely.
I mean, all of those things are at play right now.
Yep.
You know, I think about the blind man that Jesus restored his sight, and he wasn't blind because of sin. He wasn't blind because of his parents. It wasn't anything other than it was to bring God glory
right.
in that particular situation.
Yeah.
And so, do we really know what God's doing here? I mean, because we've talked about this before. I mean, I think maybe a reprieve, maybe a blessing, maybe an answer of prayer, maybe planning the way that we're going to talk about in the show today
right.
for other prophetic events to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just we have to always keep our prophetic glasses on when we're looking at the world's news and always through the spiritual perspective of what God says is going to happen.
Absolutely. I mean, again, like I said, these are very exciting days.
Yes.
And the good news for us is, regardless of where this all leads to, we know who, in the end, where this is going, and it's very exciting. And I'll just add to what you made the comment about. I believe President Trump is the man, very clearly. clearly Scripture would back that up, that God has put here in this position for this time, and God puts people in place, whether they're godly or ungodly, that's not the issue.
Yeah.
It's who does God want there to do what needs to be done. We've talked about Samson, very ungodly, but God put him there to do what needed to be done.
Yeah.
Nebuchadnezzar,
right.
Very ungodly, but God put him there to do what needed to be done. And of course, I'm not saying that President Trump's very ungodly, but I'm saying there's not really great evidence of a truly godly man, although he's doing the right things. But either way, God is the one who chooses who's in that position.
You know, many times Caroline Leavitt, who is the White House press secretary, has reiterated about the things that are being done. It's to the effect of being responsible and accountable to the American taxpayer.
That's right.
And how their money is spent.
That's right.
Now, does that mean that Caroline Leavitt's a Christian? Absolutely not. But what it does tell us is that there's a group of people in the White House that are honoring the institution of our government as it is originally intended function,
right.
Which we could say would follow more along biblical guidelines.
That's right. There were a lot of obviously believers when our nation was established.
Yes.
And there's a lot in there now. You look at this dream team he's put together. Some of them know the Lord, some of them don't. Some of them we don't know about, but they're in the same mindset. And again, I no doubt see God's hand in this. And I think, Greg, as I said, two things I think are going on here. I think that God is allowing the church to be blessed by our prayers, crying out to God, and God is answering some prayers for our nation.
Yeah.
And at the same time, as odd as this sounds, allowing the world to be prepped and ready for the Antichrist to come on the scene. So it's a win-win for us. We have a reprieve and are blessed. At the same time, the world's getting ready for the end times process that has to happen anyway. Look, we could have gone into this end times process really ugly, or we could go in pretty great.
Yeah.
And if we're as close to the Lord's return as I think, we're going in pretty great. Now, things can change. Things can change. A lot of people get upset. They say, you know, we need to be prepared. And they almost seem to want to suffer. Some people seem that they want to suffer. I've had people say to me, you know, one guy more than once has met me in the hall and said, you know, I really believe that, you know, why is it, it's not fair that we don't suffer. Because look at all the other church throughout history. I'm like, God doesn't base it on fair. God doesn't look at people and go, you know what? You hadn't suffered enough, so I'm going to, like, you know, give you a hangnail or something. He doesn't do it that way.
Right.
It just depends on what generation you're born in and what's going on in your country. And because our founding fathers were righteous, we get the benefit of that. Now, that may run out, and we need to be ready. But I'll tell you what, I have no problem riding a wonderful wave right into the kingdom of God. I have no problem. Now, if we suffer, yep, I'm ready to go. God will give me the strength and all of us. But if he doesn't, what's wrong with just enjoying it right into the kingdom?
Exactly.
You know?
He's given us all things to richly enjoy, and maybe even on the way out, go out in a blaze of glory, so to speak.
That's right.
I don't know.
That's right.
So, we'll see.
And if his kids get elected, then it might be at the last trump.
That's right. I can't do a rim shot because I'm holding Q for another thing.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, too funny. All right. This just in from Pastor Mark as he added it to the stack. This is from jpost.com. I'm assuming the article was dated today or yesterday. I'm assuming pretty quick here. Donald Trump signs an order sanctioning the International Criminal Court. You know, I remember, Pastor Mark, when you originally talked about this article, and we were just like so incensed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now look at this.
Yeah. Again, this is, you know, the International Court, again, they have no jurisdiction over the United States. It's just a group of people that trying to give themselves power. But, you know, again, I think connected to the spirit of the age and the revived Roman Empire, at some point they may have great power. I don't know. But over us, they don't have any. But then they come and they attack. Of course, they're used by the enemy. So it shows where this is coming from. Like everyone else, they're used to attack Israel. And trying to ridiculously claim that Netanyahu and Gallant are like these, you know, war criminals because they're defending their nation. I mean, it is angering. It's maddening. They're defending their nation. And these guys are saying these things like, we're putting warrants out for your arrest. Well, good luck on that one. Again, I just, it's so ridiculous. It's angering is what it is. So I love this. Here's one of the things that we love about what President Trump is doing. And that is, he comes in and goes, you know what? We're going to sanction you. Now, again, sanctions, Greg, they're a big deal. Let me read what U.S. sanctions are. Because, you know, you look at this, okay, what does that mean? Sanctions, and I'll quote, sanctions refer to federal government actions restricting economic activity between the U.S. and foreign entities. That means it's not just, again, it can be against nations or individuals. So this court and all the individuals on this court cannot do anything with the U.S. banking system or financially, and the U.S. dollar runs the world. You can see how this is going to be a big problem for those arrogant people making these ridiculous things. I'm glad, slap it to them. I love it. I love this. Anyway, including people and other nations These restrictions, including blocking off assets and trade, are made for reasons other than business, such as foreign policy or national security. And again, that's their foreign policy, and not foreign policy, but in one way. This makes sanctions distinct from trade tariffs directed at specific countries or regions. And so what he's done is now these guys are extremely limited in what they can buy and sell and be involved in financially. It's going to affect everything, even in their bank transactions and trading. I think you're going to see, my prediction is, you're going to see this court's going to get back together. You know, we've thought about this, and we've decided that, you know what, it really probably was overstepping. We're going to back this off now, and we know there's two sides to every story, and we're going to back this off. I'm telling you, it's amazing, you know, when you saw President Trump put the tariffs on Mexico and Canada, and they both made this big stand. We will fight, and we will show you who's boss in less than 24 hours. Oh, okay, we were not going to do this. So, you watch. This was just done today or yesterday. I forget if it was today. The news is running together because I'm always right in it.
Yes.
But here's the bottom line. It would not shock me. Now, they may be arrogant enough to last a while, so I may be wrong. But Greg's not going to shock me if they yank these sanctions, if they yank these things out against Netanyahu and Gallant, because, boy, President Trump just elevated Netanyahu in the world's eyes in this visit here. Just everything he did with him, the way he treated him.
Yeah.
And then Israel, all he's doing with Gaza, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So this is going to get, I just, you know, I have to say this. My flesh loves it. Now, again, yes. I don't know how much of this is spiritual, but I'm just telling you, when I see the right thing done like this, I get really excited.
Well, let's dive into that just for a quick second, because I've got a question for you, because this begs the question, is this an example of what President Trump has done to two Israeli or Jewish individuals that are in positions of leadership in that country? Is this an example of a political standing by our allies, or is this an example of Genesis 12:3?
You know, I think it's probably a political ally from his viewpoint, Greg. Honestly, I don't.
I mean, he might not even know that that's what he's doing.
Yeah. Oh, you mean God's doing it?
But even though President Trump might not realize that if this is a Genesis 12:3 moment where we're blessing Israel and not cursing Israel by doing this for these two individuals, you know, even though he might not know that he's doing Genesis 12:3, are we seeing Genesis 12:3? Are we seeing us blessing? We will be blessed, God said, if those that bless her.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, I do believe that, because whether he knows it or not, I don't think he makes decisions about Israel based on Genesis 12.
Exactly. Exactly.
However, with that said, I don't know what he knows or doesn't know. I'm sure people have told him that. But either way, I think he's thinking more politically and business and just who he is. But yes, here's the bottom line. God said, I'm going to bless whoever blesses Israel.
Right.
So this is a blessing to Israel to make a stand. Now we have, look at this.
Yeah.
We've had leaders that made stands against Israel very openly and publicly. And now suddenly we have a leader who's making a very open public stand of the world for Israel.
Yeah.
Greg, again, we are going to see great blessing. Maybe the reason he showed so much honor and so much pomp and circumstance, maybe it's because of that. Whether he's a believer or not, people argue that. But here's the thing. He's got enough believers around him saying, President, you know, Trump, you were saved by God. You dodged that bullet. And look, the Bible says for those who bless Israel, if you just really, and I mean, I don't know, because you know he's hearing that, but either way, Greg, if we stand with Israel and bless them, we are going to be blessed as a nation. It is extremely exhilarating.
Yeah. Now, and what made me think about that, Pastor Mark, was when the 12 apostles had heard some other group of people declaring that Jesus was the Christ, and they came complaining to the Lord that they're doing that. And Jesus is like, listen, if they're for real, let them go. Because if they're not for real, that's not going to last.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it's like, but they can still declare the truth, and the truth is still going to stand and be blessed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
God's going to be true to his word, whether we know what's going on or not.
We are taking a visit to Ukraine by way of Breitbart.com to see some Ezekiel 38 and 39 news, the political soap opera that is the Russian-Ukrainian war. And this article says that Ukraine says that it has struck a major Russian oil refinery again.
Yeah, and because of this flight, we may run into some turbulence here, Greg. Notice what it says. Ukraine long-range drone attack struck one of Russia's biggest oil refineries for the second time in 3 days, a senior Kyiv official said Monday. as Ukraine tries to slow the Russian army's push along parts of the front line and the third anniversary of the war approaches. The attack late Sunday hit a refinery in the Volgograd region, which is one of Russia's 10 biggest refining facilities. Let me remind our listeners, this is Russia's lifeblood. They don't bleed red, they bleed oil. They, over 60% of the Russian economy comes from their oil and their, the sale of their oil to the world. So when you strike them in this area, you're hurting them deeply, but it doesn't stop there. It goes on and says this, and of course they process 6% of the country's oil. The Sunday night attack by Ukrainian drones also targeted, get this, a major natural gas processing plant in Russia's Astrakhan region. The security service official said, on condition of anonymity, to discuss classified operations. Again, not just oil, but their natural gas, which they also use as far as their supply and their revenue. And we talked in the past, why does this come into play with Ezekiel 38 and 39? Remember, when that battle takes place and when they get pulled into it, there's a lot of oil and gas there in Israel that they would have access to. So I'm not saying this is going to cut down their oil supplies. It certainly doesn't help them. But they're going to, they always want the oil and the natural gas because that's their lifeblood. And so this again, just all this does is it's like the fire, it just adds another stick. You throw another stick on the fire. And I think here it is, another stick on the fire.
Now, did you see, and I don't know if you've seen this or not, that President Trump's proposed negotiation or peace treaty deal for Russia and Iran and in Ukraine was leaked?
I did see that.
Okay, you did see that.
Yes, I did.
So, do you think that there's any viability to that?
You know, it when I read what the conditions were, you know, we just have to wait and see. Who knows? But I mean, we'll see, because it sounds kind of Trump-esque. It's going to be done by Easter. Russia would be able to keep all the territory they've gained so far. So they wouldn't have to give it back. So that would be an incentive to them to say, okay, we'll agree. Ukraine, I mean, I forget the exact list because I didn't know you were going to ask that. It's not in front of me, but they also, no, it's good. It's a good question. We need, I'm just saying, I wish I had the list, but either way, they're going to, you know, they're going to get to, both will get to kind of save face and stay in where they are, but Ukraine will lose a little bit. Russia's going to have the incentive to keep it if that's really true. And I could see this happening, but it just hadn't been verified. Is this truly Trump's plan, or is this just kind of some leak? You know, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I don't know. What I think is interesting, though, is if this plan does, if he's able to pull this off, first of all, I mean, boy, what would he look like in the eyes of the world?
Yeah.
Being able to pull another deal off. Second, for Ezekiel to happen, Russia, from a military standpoint, has to be done with Ukraine.
Yeah.
Their resources, they can't at least amass what Ezekiel says they're going to amass on Israel's border.
Right.
With the help of the other countries.
Right.
But still, I mean, it's still going to be an unbelievable presence there and still be dealing with Ukraine at the same time. I don't see how that's doable for them.
Yeah.
Considering how they've been depleted from this war to begin with.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, then you're looking at the intrigue of President Trump, and of course we'll hear more comments that he's the Antichrist, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
However, would that also then be his downfall? And I'm just projecting into the future that he would be so emboldened for the ability of what he's been able to demonstrate that now he's going to try to broker a peace treaty between the Palestinians and the Israelis with regard to dividing the land, and then that's when God comes in and says, oh no.
Yeah, I mean, that's a legitimate concern. I do know at this point right now, they're saying that because of the whole Gaza thing, the Palestinian state thing is kind of out the window for now. Saudi Arabia and Jordan are demanding it, but I think that right now, President Trump's not really looking at that. This whole thing, because of all that happened and what they're wanting to do in Gaza, and we'll get to a question that kind of pertains to that in a little bit.
Yes.
We'll have to wait and see. But that's my concern, Greg, is that the President Trump can, that the people around him can keep him focused and not getting to where he starts trying to, he's already saying he wants peace in the region.
Yes.
That's not a bad goal.
No, it's not.
But you don't want to start going against the word of God to get that peace in the region. And then what will happen is the blessing that America's walking in, you're going to see it suddenly shift and go downhill fast. It always does when we do that. So hopefully he'll have enough people around him. And I know with Governor Huckabee and others that are around him, they're going to be telling him, the question is,
You know, will he listen?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty...
I know.
He's pretty...
he's Samson.
He's the Samson of the Bible. He really is. He's going to go in and just take the jawbone of the donkey and kill everybody and and just, you know, go for it. So it's very interesting.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy and the world's news that we do every week right here on WIAMLP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that becomes a podcast. And this week it'll be episode number 349. Available to subscribe and listen to wherever you get your podcasts. And now,
you've got mail.
Pastor Mark, we have two questions this week. Our first one comes from Joan, who enjoys Signs of the Times down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And her question is simply this: will Messianic Jews be included in the rapture?
Again, a great question. Our listeners, Joan, a great question, and I want to even expand on it some when I answer this. The foremost and civil answer is yes. And here's why. Just because they're Jews, if they know Jesus Christ, they're now the bride of Christ. They are a part of the bride of Christ. So Messianic Jews are saved. They're going to go in the rapture. They're going to be a part of the bride of Christ. And really all Jews, the door is open to become the bride of Christ. It's just that many of them don't. Now, obviously, before the Lord, they were the wife of Jehovah, you know, the father. They were his wife. And then, and this whole process. And then again, the scripture says because of their continued adultery, they just commit over and over and over and over. God finally did divorce them. The Bible says again, and God hates divorce, but the adultery kept going so much generation after generation that God did let them go. But then God opened the door for new generations to be joined to him again. And this is interesting because I got a question just recently and somebody's saying, well, after the rapture. So yes, they will go. They're part of the bride of Christ, but this gets even deeper. What about after the rapture and all those Jews that are going to get saved? You got the 144,000. You've got another at least one third. Two thirds are going to be, it looks like, taken out by the Antichrist, according to Zechariah. At least be one third that's going to be saved in addition to the 144,000. So there are going to be a lot of saved Jews. And the question that I had a Jewish believer ask me just this week was, well, what are they going to be? I think he was concerned about his family and friends. What are they going to be? I mean, I'll be the bride of Christ. What will they be? Because they don't go with the church.
Right.
You know, we don't really know. The Bible doesn't really say, all right, the Jews that get saved after the rapture, they will be this or that, or even people that get saved after the rapture. The Bible talks there'll be multitudes getting saved after the rapture. So the question is what will they be? Will they suddenly, like, be absorbed into the body of Christ? They just came late to the wedding, so they missed all the festivities? Or will they be in some different category altogether? The Bible doesn't tell us. I do know this. We're all going to be the family of God. We're all going to be in the kingdom and join the kingdom. But what our designations will be, I don't know. That's a great question, and it's great to think about.
Just a follow-up question to that, Pastor Mark. As we look at the Jews post-rapture, we know that there will be Jews that will be executed by the Antichrist.
Yes.
We've got the 144,000, a specific number, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes.
Right.
You've got the two witnesses, which of course will be Jewish themselves.
Yes.
And then you've got the people that will be able to flee to Petra.
Yeah.
The clarifying question is this: are any of the people that are able to flee to Petra part of the 144,000, or would that be the total that would be in Petra would be the 144,000, or is...
I don't know. Okay. Again, we have no indication.
Just
but again, remember, there's right around 20 million Jews right now in the world, and not all of them are going to be in Petra or even in Jerusalem. Matter of fact, we see when the Lord comes back, they're going to be gathering, bringing all the Jews in from other parts of the world for the sheep and the goats.
Yes.
And then to bring in some even that are saved afterwards and all that. But when you look at 20 million, let's round it up to 21, maybe, you know, just to make it easier. You know, you got two thirds that are going to be taken out. That's 14 million. You still have another 6 to 7 million, that are going to, be a part, make it through the Great Tribulation.
Mm.
So I don't know that you get 6 million people down in Petra.
I don't know how many could fit in there.
But it'll
really
certainly be way more than 144,000.
Okay.
Because you're talking millions.
Okay.
But then scattered around the world,
yeah,
a certain number down there. Some that, you know, again, so it's hard to say. It's a great question. It's great to think about, but only God knows. But
yeah,
it's wow. I just, there's so much Just joy and excitement for the believers and those that are rescued and the celebrations yes. in heaven that are coming. It is just unimaginable. This, nobody could write a movie or script any better than God Almighty. And he is just, he's so wonderful. And I mean, I grieve over all those that don't choose him and the suffering they're going to go through. And even those who do choose him and are persecuted and suffer, that's part of it. But for those who do choose and even suffer and those who don't, what a great and glorious future we have ahead. It is so exciting.
Yeah, it is. All right, Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Liz,
yes.
who enjoys Signs of the Times in Seymour, near here from Knoxville. Her question is regarding Joel 3 and the Gaza revamp. She said, I was excited for 2.5 seconds about the potential Riviera of the Middle East until I looked at Joel 3. Since there are talks of Israel handing over Gaza to the U.S. to build resorts and the like, should we be concerned about judgment of some sort, or is the U.S. simply contemplating maintaining the area?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a legitimate concern, but I think technically, even if we took over the Gaza Strip, technically, he's not dividing the land. And here's why, Liz. The land right now does not belong to Israel. It does in God's eyes.
Yes.
But it doesn't in the actual boundaries that are there. In other words, the land that's there, President Trump and America is not going in and taking any of their allotted land at the moment with the boundaries that are drawn, although it is a part of Israel and much more. And we know from what the scripture says. It goes all the way from the Nile River all the way over to the Euphrates is what God has designated belongs to Israel. So I would say, no, if America takes it over and fixes it up, I don't think, from what my viewpoint at this point, I don't see that as dividing the land and any kind of curse coming upon us for that. But at the same time, this is where we have to be very careful. And could that lead into, the thing that I'm watching is you got Saudi Arabia and Jordan going, we're going to have nothing to do with this. We want a Palestinian state. We don't want Gaza cleared out. This is wrong. We're not taking any of the refugees. I think President Trump has enough power to change that, and I think it will. I think there's a good chance of that. However, it could open up a door, and what he does is, and the art of the deal, the way he does it is, he throws something out so preposterous, out front, that by the time you back it up to something that's still pretty amazing, you're going, oh, well, at least we got that. And so you wonder, my concern is, I hope this doesn't turn into a negotiation about dividing up the land because Saudi Arabia and Jordan have some big stand they're going to make. That would be my concern for us as a nation, dividing the land in Joel 3. However, at this point, if it just goes with us taking over Gaza, all we're doing is cleaning out just this horrible situation and bringing light into it. So I think this could be a blessing at this point.
So you're thinking like maybe part of the negotiation would be, all right, well, we'll allow East Jerusalem to be the capital of...
I'm afraid.
Okay. You want to know what, but that's... We have to consider that.
I know. I hope it does not happen because you could say, okay, look, here's what we'll do. The Jews get their temple. They can rebuild it.
It's
you
not
get
half
of Jerusalem, we'll split up that. I'm not saying that's going
to
happen, but here's the thing, Greg. Here's what I hope.
It is going to happen, but not at his hands.
Here's what I hope. My hope is that the President Trump is simply, he's basically rolling out the red carpet, getting everything ready, and then when the Antichrist steps on the scene, these may be the negotiating tools to make this fall into place.
Right. Wow. Well, more of that to come probably next week, no doubt.
Yes. Well, tomorrow. In 1 hour.
In 1 hour. On the boat. All right, we'll come back here to America. We come to our first article. This is from Harbinger? What is that?
Harbinger.
Thank you.
He's got like a headwind, like a warning, like a sign. Yeah,
okay.
Harbinger of things to come.
All right, from Things to Come Daily. This is dated February 3rd. A California government app, I guess?
Right.
Is advising teens to drop Christianity and embrace the occult.
Yes.
What is that all about?
Yeah, listen to this. It's an official mental health app.
Oh, my.
That's now been backed by the state of California. You're talking about mental health. You're talking about demonic health.
Seriously.
Targeting vulnerable children, those who aren't. Listen, look at what Satan's doing here. He's going for those that already have mental issues, right?
Yep.
And given in this propaganda, it's a new age. It's an occult, new age, homosexual, transgender, fornicating app that attacks Bible principles and the precepts of the Bible. And it says critics are sounding the alarm under the guise of helping California teens with self-esteem and emotions. It says help self-esteem and emotions. It's going to be self-esteem and demons. The new program known as Saluna features blatantly pagan occult themes from magicians and tarot cards to channeling the high priestess and touting lesbian characters and controversial topics are ubiquitous. One lesson is called Tarot and Tidings. Listen, this is supposed to take Christmas.
Tarot and what?
Tidings. This is the Christmas part of the app. Tarot and Tidings, a holiday spread to protect your peace. It says, this season, the cards are stacked in your favor. That's the tarot cards.
Wow.
This holiday, tarot spread holds the secret to boundary-setting magic, meaning less chaos and more clarity.
Wow.
This is the kind of stuff where you get so angry, and when you see President Trump come in doing some of the stuff he's doing to stop this, where you
now
get
you
excited.
Understand. Yes.
Another lesson in the mental health app is titled, Coming Out to Immigrant Parents, a Parent POV. In this audio, you'll hear the story of Olga, an immigrant parent, and her queer daughter, Nina. The slide declares before dissing cultural values and promotes ditching cultural values and promoting homosexuality. Yet another lesson teaching children about the physical intimacy encourages fornication. Mm-hmm. Taking that next step with someone special is a big deal, it says. It can be an exciting way to deepen your connection. Ready to get spicy and safe? Let's chat. It is demonic and evil and ruining. California is continuing to ruin the next generation. You know, Greg, you wonder, how long will God let California exist? I mean, they may go out before the rest of us because they're so wicked. But either way, this is where, again, you have to rejoice at what our president's doing. No matter where you stand in his position, fighting back on some of this ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, our next article comes from the Times of Israel. This is dated February 6th. It says, Trump says Israel would hand Gaza to the U.S. when the war ends and no American troops needed there. Okay.
Yeah, again, remember,
we'll see.
Well, again, remember when he came out with his plan for Gaza land, he was talking about, taking it over and taking it to new places. Well, now he's saying, well, we'll do that, but then we'll bring them back. It's a temporary displacement while we make the place big and beautiful and all that, and bring them back. The problem, what he doesn't realize before I even get into this article, Greg.
Yes.
And I think our listeners know this, but if they don't, they need to know. Look, you can, I guess the saying would kind of be this way. You can take the Gazans out of Gaza, but you can't get the Gaza out of Gazans. They are who they are. And if you take them somewhere else, they're still going to be who they are unless there's a heart transformation. So he was presenting it, which I know is probably a political presentation of, look, they need nicer homes. They need to be in a place where they can live safely with their families. They don't want to live safely with their families. They want war. They want to fight. Now, not all of them, but most.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There are some people
that really want a legitimate life of peace
and safety.
I agree.
That are not Hamas connected.
I agree. But what the hostages are saying that they're bringing home, they said, what shocked them, because they didn't realize this, they said, what shocked us in the interaction with the masses while we were there is the majority by far are all hating Israel and want to kill all the Jews. So they said there's a very small number of those who really do want to live in peace. Most of them don't. Yeah. So again, I don't know, President Trump's probably presenting it that way because you couldn't present it any other way to be accepted politically. He probably knows better. But again, he's saying, look, just turn it over to us. Let's go make it this great, the Riviera of the Middle East. And then we'll let them come back. And I don't know how they would even afford coming back, what the plan would be there. But that's kind of the idea. But anyway,
I'm thinking they'd come back and work. They'd have employment there in the Riviera. I'm thinking, from an economic standpoint, it's like we're creating jobs for you.
Well, they won't be working from home, I can tell you
That's right.
Well, controversial plan, it says, reportedly caught Netanyahu and top White House aides off guard. Again, even
and Pastor Mark.
His own wife. What? I didn't know this. Rubio says Gaza's displacement would be only temporary, contradicting U.S. President Donald Trump. I think he's just completing the picture.
That's how they write it.
He says, look, they're going to take the 2.3 million residents, and then they would be turned over to the United States. You'll take them somewhere temporarily. At the conclusion of the fighting, Americans would take it over. No soldiers needed. It would just go in there and basically a bunch of real estate guys building and getting everything to going. And then it would be turned over to the United States at the conclusion of the fighting. And then it would be resettled later, it says, in a far safer, more beautiful communities with new modern homes in the region. Suggesting the Strip's population would be permanently displaced. Even after he said that, he said they would actually have a chance to be happy, safe, and free in a different place. The U.S., working with great development teams from all over the world, would slowly and carefully begin the construction of what would become one of the greatest and most spectacular developments of its kind in the earth. Trump continued, adding that no soldiers would be needed. So, I mean, everything he talks about, the Gaza sounds almost as good as his stakes. So that's just how he
presents it.
And yet he produces.
Yes.
So, Is this going to happen? I'll say this. I would normally I'd say no. It's just a negotiating tool to get to something else. But when I read about the Ezekiel war and it says they'll be saying, you know, they dwell safely, there's going to be something, I believe, that's going to change Gaza to make it safe.
Because it's not going back to the way it was before October 7th.
No, I think there's going to be something that makes it safe for Israel, whether it's America in there, whether it's some country, a league of countries. Yeah. I don't know. But then you're going to, Greg, that means, look, there's got to be something that takes place in Syria and then with Hezbollah up in Lebanon. And so is there going to be further fighting there? Are the governments going to rise up and deal with it on their own? You've got, again, as Isaiah, you've got the destruction of Damascus, Isaiah 17:1. I've always looked at that as coordinated with the Battle of Battle of Russia and Iran, and may be. But if that happened, then, again, now you've got all their enemies gone.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You know, you talked about this before when they toppled Assad, yeah, and he fled,
right,
with a lot of money. Another story. And then you said that the worst of the worst came zooming in there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
I mean,
and
even
then,
to their own, they're horrible. It's horrible.
And you talked about maybe this is the gathering for God's judgment.
Yeah.
Now let's incorporate everything else that we've been talking about today and the whole issue of peace and safety. You know, it's one thing that Gaza's gone. But could you imagine an Isaiah 17:1 event that does wipe out the worst of the worst, that now really gives that complete picture of dwelling in peace and safety, because now all the borders are taken care of.
Yeah.
And now the path has been cleared for the Russian-Iranian, led invasion of all these other countries coming in.
I can see now how Gaza and Syria can be dealt with. What I'm looking at is Lebanon and Hezbollah, but right now, a part of this agreement, Lebanon is already saying that there's no way Hezbollah will not be allowed any in their government. And so, you know, they may get forced out and it becomes a safe zone. It's going to become, I think, a safe zone, at least temporarily there as well. So how
long
it's
enough
happen?
For the, long enough for the prophecy to come to pass,
and then moves in Russia, Iran, Turkey, Libya, Sudan, and here we go, and we watch God do something supernatural. I mean, we got the outpouring, we got the rapture of the church, we got the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Jews, and I just, man, stay tuned and don't let your cable subscription run out. Don't lose your, this is like, it's too much. It's just amazing.
Yep. All right. Our last, article from the America category comes from USAtoday.com, dated February 6th, Trump to form a task force.
Yeah.
Aimed at rooting out anti-Christian bias.
Yes. In 2023, the House Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government reported that under the pretext of tackling the threat of domestic terrorism, the FBI's Richmond office described certain radical traditionalist Catholics as violent extremists and proposed opportunities for the FBI to infiltrate Catholic churches as a form of the threat mitigation.
Wow.
Again, I did hear that when the FBI came in and they found out who they were, they ended up in the confession booth. But anyway, let's go on. The mission of the task force will be to immediately halt all forms of anti-Christian targeting and discrimination in the federal government. This is fantastic, including at the Department of Justice, FBI, IRS, Trump said in a speech at the National Prayer Breakfast on Thursday. In addition, the task force will work to fully prosecute anti-Christian violence and vandalism in our society and to move heaven and earth to defend the rights of Christians and religious believers worldwide. Now, first of all, this is great news for Christians in America.
Yes.
But I see a larger picture. We talked about President Trump very possibly, almost has to be paving the way for the Antichrist, as close as we are to the end. And one of the things the Antichrist is going to do, he's going to make a league with religion and the world.
Mm.
It's pictured in Revelation as the woman riding the beast. Revelation 17 says a woman's riding the beast. That is a world religious system that is working in conjunction with the Antichrist. And at some point, the Antichrist is going to use that to help unite the world and protect them religiously. And then at some point, he's going to turn on them. 3.5 years in, we know at that point, actually, declare that he's God and everybody has to worship him. So even seeing this move now by the most powerful person in the world protecting believers here, it sets a mindset, I think, for when he steps on the scene saying, and we need to do this worldwide now that this has happened protect all believers, maybe with the destruction of Damascus and the rapture. He steps in and does that.
Now, what's interesting, Pastor Mark, is that we know that, listen, I had relatives that were Catholic, and I believe that they knew the Lord. But when we look at Catholicism versus the Protestant religion, of which we are a part of.
That's right.
Okay. We would say that there's probably some differences there that, you know, may be worth dividing over.
Right.
Okay. So when we say the Catholic religion in lumping it into the church, I mean, I guess we can say that that's part of the larger picture, but what separates Catholicism from the rest of the Protestant movement is that Catholicism is the only world religion that has a singularly recognized leader, and this religion is global.
That's
right. It is not a regional religion like maybe Hindu would be, Hinduism or Buddhism or something like that. Catholicism is global.
It is, and it's global in mass numbers.
Exactly.
Yes.
So to your point, and especially since this article is referencing, you know, coming to the defense of Catholics, then that really fits what you were just saying, what the Antichrist is going to be doing, the woman riding the beast.
It really does, Greg. And again, I think that probably the best guesstimate of what religion will be leading that will be, I think, the Catholic Church. Again, there are believers in the Catholic Church. But there's a large portion of unbelievers in the Catholic Church because their worship of Mary and all that goes with that. And with that said, again, the Bible of Laodicea, the last church, remember, that's left behind, the lukewarm church, you read that, it doesn't even sound like they're saved. It just sounds like they're just kind of this church in name, and the Lord's saying, look, you need to get serious about God. You need to be, you know, saved. And so, and many believe that when the church is gone, the true church, you know, some from the Catholic and then from those, all the Protestant, you know, that are believers, that you're only going to have this religious shell. And that's who's going to make the agreement with. He'll make an agreement with this religious shell. He'll use it for his purposes to unite the world, as it is a uniting thing worldwide. And then he's going to turn and devour it when he says, no, now you worship me.
Mm, amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure more on that will be coming in the first 100 days of the president's
Absolutely.
Term. Yes. Right, as we look at pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption, this is from the AP Network News, dated February 4th, out of Santorini, Greece, as hundreds of quakes rattle the Greek islands, a few brave tourists have Santorini all to themselves.
Yes, and I was just there a few months ago. I was there on Santorini.
Oh, is that one of the places in the footsteps of Paul?
Yeah, we were there, and it's amazing.
Okay.
It's this basically formed by volcanoes.
Wow.
And it juts up out of the ocean there, the Aegean Sea. And again, is up on top, and it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's just an amazing place, but pretty scary. I saw the videos, and when you see the earthquakes and you see the rocks coming down, these big dust things down the side, we're starting to collapse some. Listen, one of the things they told us when we were there, Greg, there's this beautiful area there that's just this gorgeous kind of bay, but also right there into the Aegean, open to the Aegean, and then another island you can see in the distance there. That portion there right in front of the island used to be land, but when it exploded, I think it was either the 1700s or 1800s, it, you know, just pretty much, I think, killed everybody that was there, that were living at that time of the island. It exploded, and it made this beautiful, I mean, it is a beautiful island with this beautiful blue, deep blue water that you can't believe. There's somebody put watercolor in it. You're like, is this real? You know?
Wow.
And so it's absolutely beautiful there. And to see these earthquakes happening, so it really kind of was very interesting. I was like, wow, you know, it kind of hit home. We were just there.
Yeah.
But notice what it says. Hundreds of earthquakes that have rattled the Greek islands and the Aegean are called a seismic swarm and could continue for weeks before eventually diminishing. Santorini mayor told the Associated Press on Tuesday, pausing to chuckle as new tremors shook items on his desk. This phenomenon may... They're having the interview, and it's trembling. every few minutes, they're not worried about it.
Yeah.
This phenomenon may play out with small quakes or single, slightly stronger one, following the gradual subsidence, the mayor, Nikos Zorzos, said, adding he was cautiously optimistic after speaking to seismologists who described the swarm as a series of tremors of similar magnitude occurring in clusters. Thousands of residents and seasonal workers have left, as one quake was up to magnitude five, that's pretty big. Especially when you know their history, it can be a little intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
A handful of hardy tourists enjoyed having Santorini and their stunning views all to themselves, it says. Look, if you wanted to take the chance that you wouldn't be blown up, wow, that you, everybody... The island's packed.
There are people probably from California that are used to earthquakes.
Look, the island's packed, and you know, it's kind of like, you know, again, welcome Pompeii visitors. We're glad you're here and enjoy your stay and this kind of thing. But Santorini earlier canceled public events, restricted travel No injuries have been reported. So, again, I don't know. Here's the thing. They're saying this is not a big deal at this moment. But, again, you never know. And we know that in the last days, Romans 8:22, the earth's going to be groaning. And I think we're seeing some groaning in the earth. And it's happening there in Santorini.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you consider the volcanic activity there and the earthquake. Earthquake related to volcanic activity.
Right.
It sounds to me like everything that they built there in Santorini was to withstand anything of that type that might come in the future.
Yeah.
In terms of earthquakes.
Oh, yeah.
Are you hearing anything about destruction of property?
No,
no,
not anything like that. They say really there's no real damage right now.
Okay.
It is interesting. You have to ride these trams. You have to get on the bottom and ride this tram up. It takes a while to get up there. Can you imagine the people? You know there were people on it when these things hit. That would have been freaky.
Now that would have, on the rails?
Yes. And you may probably start swinging a little bit. You realize an earthquake's happening. You'd be like,
wow.
Oh my goodness. You know, it's like, and it just, you know, it's it goes right up. It's close to the mountain, but goes straight up by the mountain there. If it dropped, you know, it would not be a pretty thing. And so that would have been kind of intimidating and scary, and maybe even going back down. You'd want to make sure, well, they check this thing good, you know, before you head back down, because if it, you know, something's wrong. But either way, things are fine right now, and it just really kind of struck me because of just being there. Very interesting.
Personal connection.
Well, very visual for me. I can see it.
Yes.
I can see where it was and what happened.
Yeah.
Even the videos. I go, yeah, we saw that, you know.
Well, we know more earthquakes are coming.
That's right. This is just the beginning, my friend.
Just the beginning.
Just the beginning.
All right, let's go to the church. ChristianPost.com, dated February 3rd. Real life evil driving slaughter and horror of global persecution. And you were talking about this, Pastor Mark, really at the beginning of the show in terms of the Christian persecution around the globe.
Yeah, you know, I think that we tend to think about the persecution against the Jews.
Yes.
When we think about the last days. But remember, the Bible says there's going to be great persecution against, you know, believers as well. You know, as Satan turns up the heat. Now, again, I think this is going to be worse for some people in some areas. Like right now around the globe, like in this article we'll get to in just a moment, they're talking about just, you know, great atrocities that are happening around the globe, whereas we have relative peace. And like I said, I don't think we need to be afraid or ashamed of the relative peace that we have. You know, we talked about earlier people that kind of, you know, hey, it's not fair.
Yeah.
Look, throughout history, there have been periods of great peace for God's people. You look at, there were times in David's life, there was Solomon, the great peace during his entire rulership there for that region for the believers. You know, you had Great Britain that had great times of peace there when they were empire ruled the world, you know, and then America, we've had great peace because of this as well. So we shouldn't feel guilty about the fact that we have this peace and this rest, but at the same time, having that compassion for our brothers and sisters that are hurting around the globe, and then also realizing that, you know, it could get very dicey for us as well. But again, this article talks about just the stuff that's happening, you know, worldwide. It says, by all accounts, Christian persecution is worsening across the globe. And again, we can expect that because that's exactly what the last days look like. Joel Vindekamp, head of international communications at Christian Solidarity International, is among those who know the full extent of the issue, often observing its evils firsthand, and these diabolical infractions from killings to land seizure to discrimination having a root, Vindekamp believes, in the overarching spiritual battle between good and evil. He's exactly right. This is demonic. By the way, that brings up a point. Taking land grabs. You're with South Africa, I believe it is, or in one of the African areas, they're taking from the farmers. Remember the land?
Yes.
And well, President Trump now is cutting their funding because they're doing it. So again, this is the kind of thing where, again, that seems like more of a racial thing, but there's a lot of components spiritually here connected, I believe, to believers. And that's exactly what he's talking about. There's this pressure being turned up. It's interesting. In Revelation, it says that when Satan is thrown down to the earth once and for all, a lot of people don't realize he still has access to God right now. Satan in the demonic realm can still go, and I guess I'll call it the foyer of heaven, maybe more than the foyer, because they go stand before him there at his throne. I don't know how that works, and God allows them. They can come in, and they can appeal for us to abuse us, like they did Job. And they can also, again, go to God to ask for permission for certain things. But the Bible says in Revelation, at some point during the Great Tribulation, the final 7 years, that God's going to throw him out once and for all. There's going to be the battle between Michael and the archangels and Satan and his angels, fallen angels. He's going to throw them out once and for all. Jesus spoke of that prophetically as he was seeing it from the eternal viewpoint. He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And so again, he's already seen that because he's eternal and he's come into time and he'll go back out and he sees it again. But the Bible says when that happens, Greg, that Satan is going to know that his time is short. And because of that, he's going to turn up this, he's going to throw everything he has. Whatever God lets him throw at the Jews and whatever God lets him throw at the Christians, he's going to throw at them. So, and that's going to be really during the Great Tribulation. So I don't want to bring concerns on our listeners now. If you know Jesus Christ, you're going to miss all that. You're going to go in the Great Tribulation. You're going to go in the rapture and then the Great Tribulation is after that. So you're going to be okay. But you think this is something. Wait till you see that. This is a part of that spiritual battle. He says, I think the way that the Bible speaks about how the powers and principalities operate is very important. Because what drives the powers and the principalities of the air, you might say, the evil spiritual powers of the world, is a desire to unseat God and to be the most powerful, the most important thing, and I would even say being, in the universe. Again, this is interesting. Remember, Satan wants to be worshipped as God. And so he's right on target here.
Very much so.
He said, and we see a lot of these temporal powers, states, governments, terrorist groups are driven by a similar desire, a desire for supremacy, a desire to remake the world the way they want it to be remade. It's interesting. When I was on one of our trips in Israel, Greg, I was standing right above the Western Wall, looking down there at that big open area. There's a big open area right before you get to the Western Wall and where they all pray. And there was a Muslim lady standing next to me, and I wasn't really paying attention to her. I was just pointing out to some of the people with me. I said, now, you see there on the Dome of the Rock, you see that crescent and the moon and all. I said that, and the symbols of Islam, it represents world dominance. They want to control and take over the entire world, which they do. They want to dominate the entire world for Allah and the dominance of it. And again, and they even believe when they take territory or land, it's once they own it, it's theirs forever. So
yeah, it's all his property.
Yeah, so
you don't give it up.
That's right. And I was sharing some of that with our people. Well, she was listening in, and she jumped in there. If that is not true, you're telling lies. We do not want to conquer the world. And I didn't get in a fight with her. I just was like, yeah, it is true, and that's what you guys want to do. And so I didn't want to start a riot there at the, next to the Temple Mount. But they deny that, but that's exactly what they want to do. It's the same spirit of Satan wanting to take over and rule the world and rule all things. That's what these other religions, and that's what the Antichrist wants to do.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Pastor Mark. You know, there's a lot of times that people maybe within Islam don't even believe that extremist viewpoint, which is the true, you know, intent.
Right.
You know, it could be that maybe she really thought it was supposed to be. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
or maybe she doesn't know denying
it
because, the truth is getting out. Who knows?
Maybe. But I have to believe in the Middle East. They know a lot more than here.
Yeah. Yes.
It says these individuals and groups will essentially give themselves over to evil, he says in the article, to achieve their stated goals and aspirations. That's true. The result of these tragic quests can often be seen in the deadly persecution observed in various nations across the globe. He says it's getting worse for a few specific reasons, but mostly having to do with the increased competition and even wars that we're seeing between the superpowers now, between the U.S., Russia, and China, that are always competing for influence in different parts of the world. And Greg, that brings up another point. Remember, behind all these world powers, you have the demonic realm. You have the spiritual realm where God's working, and you have the demonic realm as well where they're working. And when you see some of the temperature being raised right now, like there's a lot of things President Trump is doing where a lot of these people that are career politicians who just want to take our money and use it for nefarious purposes and their own gain, when that gets shut down, you're watching what's happening. They're screaming, they're crying, they're marching on, buildings. They did it just today, the Department of Education, the Democrats, they gathered outside the door to storm it, to go in there and demand a meeting, and the one security guard stopped and wouldn't let them in. So they kind of got a surprise there. He was like, no, you're not coming in, and they couldn't. But either way, you're going to see more and more earthly tantrums, and as you said earlier with Satan being upset, you're going to see more and more spiritual tantrums as well. So yeah, I think this could get, and maybe this is where it leads into wars and rumors of wars, which we're already seeing some of, but maybe the increase in that because of these tantrums. But it's going to get interesting during these 4 years, which have just begun. I where does it go from here? If this is what we're seeing now, it's going to really get crazy.
You know, what's interesting, it makes me think of this verse because it's probably one of the more understated verses in the Bible, but really speaks to exactly what you just described in that we're not wrestling. You know, Ephesians 6:12 tells us we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in heavenly places. This is a spiritual battle. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world, basically those that are not in Christ Jesus, are under the sway of the wicked one. So when you know that Satan has been using all of these things for his purposes, that we're ultimately, this is spiritually controlled, this is a spiritual battle, that Satan is now pushing the buttons of those people, and because he's enraged of the righteousness that's being taken,
that's
the righteous stands that are being taken for this country.
That's right.
And it's slowing down. It's not stopping his purposes, but it's definitely slowing down his purposes.
Absolutely. You know, the Bible says in 1 John that the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. And that means he can sway them wherever he wants to sway them. And I think you're going to see...
on top of buildings,
I think
holding banners.
I think you're going to see a lot of swaying. And I think you're already seeing things sway right now. Let me read it to you. It says again in 1 John 5:19, it says this, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the wicked one. Or in New King James, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So again, worded differently, but the same idea.
Sway, the influence.
Yeah. That's right. And so, again, you're going to see, I think, a lot more of that sway taking place here in the last days.
And you know what's interesting about that verse, too, Pastor Mark? It intimates to us that those that are under the sway do not have to agree.
That's right.
They can't
control it. They're being controlled.
They are being controlled, and that's why Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. Jesus was a very black and white about that position. And that verse really underpins that, is that... if you're not in Christ Jesus, you're under the sway of the enemy, and you don't have to agree to be a sway. Most people are not even aware that they're under his influence. Like, for those people that hate the Jews, but they can't give an explanation why.
That's right.
Is a great example of 1 John 5:19 in action.
And how do you get out from under that sway? Right now, you simply receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Ask forgiveness of your sins, give your life to Jesus. And the Bible says now you're under the sway of God and no longer under the sway of the wicked one. You can do that right now, wherever you are. Confess your sin, believe in Jesus, and give him your life.
Pastor Mark, thank you so much. Folks, don't forget the Prophecy Conference tomorrow. It will be streamed on Jack Hibb's Real Life Network.
No, but it'll be later.
Later. Okay. All right. Well, never mind. Enjoy yourself. And come back next Friday for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.